Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.
Every Tuesday afternoon for the past number of weeks, we have been learning how to live well from people who have mastered it. And we've talked to everybody from, ice baths, hill walking, laughter, yoga, everything you can possibly think of. But today I'm chatting to Professor of Immunology at DCU, Christine Loescher, to give us some insight into how we can live a healthy, long life. Good afternoon, Christine. How are you?
Hi, Andrea. How are you doing?
Good. How do we live to 100?
Well, I don't have a magic solution, so I don't have a magic formula for you today. But I suppose what I do have is a couple of very simple things that will enhance your chances of living to 100. So I'm halfway there. And I'm hoping my genes, which is a huge part, I know we were just talking about this just before we came on, your genetic kind of predisposition to disease actually is huge. So if you've had parents, aunts and uncles that have lived long, healthy lives, you can kind of take it that your genes, you have a good starting point, you have a good genetic background. But genes is only part of it. And actually, you can really change what's written in your genes by the way that you live. So lifestyle is huge.
So just to go back to the genes for a moment, is it your parents or grandparents? I presume it's your parents.
So it's every generation that has been descendant. So usually if you have parents that are older and in good health, they'll probably have had parents that were older and in good health. Now, that said, our medical intervention now is much better than it used to be. So we probably don't need to go back too far, because people usually died younger generations back than what they're dying now.
So how big of a factor then, where is genetics in the list? Is it about 10% of your...
It's a huge influence, but one that you can't change. So I think what's really important
is to focus on
the stuff that you can change.
Okay.
And actually, lots of the things that are important in living well and living longer are all things that are very easily influenced by lifestyle. And what I mean by that is exercise. When I say exercise, I don't mean gym and lifting weights and everything else. I mean moving, just very simply moving. So if anyone is not in a car and listening to this now, the best thing you can do for yourself is to walk around the kitchen while you're listening to the rest of it, because moving is actually one of the simplest things we can do. But mobility is one of the biggest predictors of your length of life and, more importantly, your quality of life. So staying mobile and keeping moving, particularly later in life, is the most important thing you can do.
For most of us, that's probably something we have good control of.
Yes.
Your mobility aspect of it. Because there will be other considerations, I imagine, things like the environment, environmental issues that will somewhat be beyond our control. But the movement part of this is... You don't have to be a gym bunny.
But no, you don't. No. And movement's easy to control, because it's small things that you can do. It's walking around the kitchen when you're on the phone to somebody. It's, getting off at a bus stop a little bit earlier. It's doing a walk and talk for a meeting and work. I do lots of those. They're a leftover for me from COVID, where all the meetings were outside. So meeting someone for a cuppa and doing a lap at the park while you're having your cuppa is just so much better for you than sitting down having the cuppa.
That's actually great advice.
Just simple stuff. And I think that's really important for people, is to know that there's no big thing that's really arduous that they have to do. It is just simple stuff. Apart from moving and mobility, the next one I think that's really important is food. And when I say that, I mean that food is one of the things that really impact, like everything you put into your body impacts on every single system of your body. The one that I obviously have a lot of expertise in is the immune system. And we learned a lot about the immune system during COVID, but we really only spoke about it in the context of, if you have a good, powerful immune system, then, maybe you're good at fighting viruses and maybe you don't get so sick. But actually, your immune system and your immune system not working well feeds into every other chronic disease that you can pretty much name.
How can we control that though? Like, because for most people, they're probably listening to this today and they're thinking, I'm in reasonably good health. Yeah. I maybe get the odd cold, probably had it in January there or February once a year. But beyond that, I'm doing okay. But I suppose there's probably lots going on inside that we don't know about.
There's a lot of the unseen with the immune system. So if you cut yourself and a lot of the, you see a lot of swelling, you see a lot of redness, you see what we call classic inflammation. And inflammation is always talked about in the kind of a negative context, but actually inflammation is a good thing to have when you have an infection or your body needs to switch on inflammation to get rid of a virus or a bacteria. As you age and as you expose yourself to lots of things that we expose ourselves to in lifestyle, like processed foods, bad fats, alcohol, all of those kind of things that we need to do in moderation, as you expose your immune system to them, you drive this chronic state of inflammation. And it actually gets worse as we age because this process of inflammaging is now a recognized process whereby the older you get and the more exposed you become to lots of things in the environment, including food, you drive this chronic underlying inflammation that you really can't see. The problem is that we now know that chronic inflammation is the driver of diabetes, cancer, cardiovascular disease, and some of the neurological diseases, like, for example, dementia. So a new UK study, for example, that came out very recently shows that the correlation between increased inflammation in the circulation of older adults and risk of dementia is very clear now.
So to for us listening, if we want to try and, you know, monitor the what we can't see, the unknown around the chronic inflammation, that's linked to what you're going to sit down now and eat for lunch, the glass of wine you're having on Friday, the takeaway on Saturday. That's, you can control this.
You can control this. So the great thing about inflammation is that you can, you know, you can make it worse and you can make it better. So lots of foods that we eat are what we call inflammatory. So highly processed foods, very high saturated fats, trans fats, all of those foods drive inflammation and kind of feed this whole chronic process. But equally, good fats in nuts and fish, omega-3s, whole foods like leafy greens and fruits like blueberries and strawberries have polyphenols, and we know that they're anti-inflammatory. So as much as lifestyle can impact on your chronic inflammation, you can do small changes that actually do the very opposite, which is start to suppress this inflammation. And by doing that alone and having that kind of inflammation suppressed, you will decrease your risk for developing a chronic disorder.
And yet every time I talk to somebody who's lived to, you know, 105 or 103, they'll always tell me that what's the secret to living the long, healthy life? They'll tell me they have butter in their potatoes every day. They have a glass of Guinness or a sherry or something, you know, which is...
And the thing is, it's moderation, though. So if you think about butter, I mean, at one stage, butter was demonized because it was a saturated fat. And in the 40s, 50s and 60s, they brought out trans fats and it was supposed to be this great replacement. And actually, when you look at the line for the increase in the consumption of all these processed new fats and you look at the line for chronic inflammation, they're practically identical to each other. So saturated fats in moderation is OK, because we need fats. We actually need fats for our cells to work properly. So fat is not the demon. It's the type of fat that you eat
so
the whole time.
Beyond the inflammation, what else do we need to mind, Christine?
So apart from minding your inflammation, there are lots of things around. So, for example, huge issue as people get older is social interaction. So we're not lonely beings. We're not supposed to be. We're supposed to be in packs. We're not supposed to be on our own the whole time. So you'll find that people that live a long quality life do lots of things as they get older. So they're in a bridge club. They meet the ladies for lunch or they go for coffee. You find that men golf well into their 70s, 80s and 90s. So people who are social beings, it's really good for mental wellness, really good for staving off depression, but really good for overall health, because interacting with people, having fun, having a good social life actually drives endorphins, it decreases depression, it enhances mental health. So all of those things are really important, not just for living long, but for living long well and having good quality of
life. I'm hoping my love of fun and social life and social interaction will offset the fact that I've asthma, love a glass of wine, take away at the weekend. I'm just thinking, my grandparents lived to my two grannies in 96 and 89. My dad passed it 63. So, when you look back,
you have a good enough gene pool there now. I mean, my granny was 101 when she passed away, and like that. Very like active, social, very little processed foods. I mean, if you have a choice for what to eat for dinner tonight, just make sure it came out of the ground sometime recently. You know, that's really the rule of thumb.
Such a good way to look at it, isn't it?
If you're opening packets for everything that you eat, then you're probably not doing the best that you could do for yourself. But it's small changes in what you eat.
It's really
interesting. Moving a bit more. It's not anything drastic that you need to do with lifestyle. But all of those things give you not just a good immune system in terms of, you know, feeding into all that risk for chronic disease, but they also give you a good immune system for staving off infection. And we know that particularly in older people, that can be something that they really struggle with as they reach into their 60s, 70s and 80s.
Really interesting, Christine. And lots of food for thought for
lots of food for
all
thought,
of us.
Literally.
I was just thinking, as you were mentioning some of this earlier, I was like, let's hope the life insurance crowd aren't listening today as I'm trying to work out my genetic pool here with asthma and love of a glass of Sauvignon. But anyway, DCU Professor of Immunology, Christine Loscher, thanks a million, Christine, for joining us here on the programme today.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.